Cry about that, you dirty old bitch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another fun episode of Waiting for Other Players, a Hunt Showdown podcast. This is John Cat coming at you live from the Cat House. We're light one ombre this week. This is episode one of our interview series that I was talking about during the State of the Niche with one of our first fans. If not the first one, you were pretty close down the pipe. We're starting our interview series with the... would you say eternal three star? Is that what you go by on
Banish Extract? The patron saint of three stars.
Yeah. Rat329, patron saint.
It's nice to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been kicking around this ball for a while trying to get together, and I'm glad to finally have you here.
Oh man, I'm happy to be here. I just liked joking around with you guys on Instagram, so
that's mostly me, but yeah. But yeah, no, that's where all the magic happens.
Oh yeah, I mean, I just decided one day I was gonna message you guys. I was gonna call the hotline for the first couple of episodes, just to see like what the hell. I don't know, but
yeah. Here we'll burn our. I'm gonna stick with the segment things because it's what I have the soundboard set up for, and I love them too much. But we'll hit this one.
I'm your Huckleberry. That's just my game.
Yeah, as far as the hotline goes, I stole that bit from there's a podcast that I listen to called Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games. It's three guys at this point. They have their producer on with them. But it's three guys and they just play retro games. But for a long time they had a Google Voice voicemail thing. But the whole bit was only two people ever called into it. So they would just have backlogs of voicemails from just two different people. And I was like, this could be fun. People could call in with gameplay or whatever. But I think we went like 6 or 7 months and nobody called. And eventually Google just shut it down.
Oh, shit. I was going to say, with this information, I'm going to call to give you guys hell weekly.
I'll keep you posted. I might bring it back. I don't know. But yeah, eventually Google was just like, you do know this is not being used, right? I was like, yeah, okay. Fair enough. But yeah, I mean, this is usually the segment where Harrison tells me that he's been playing some weird, obscure German import of Pokemon or Pal World or whatever. Have you? Is there anything that you want to go over? You've been into anything weird this week?
So much Helldivers and just barely bought Horizon Zero Dawn, so I'm playing that for the first time.
Nice. Yeah, I don't have a lot to add. We've the limited amount of time I have, we've been trying to chip our way through this event, but playing a little bit of Helldivers ourselves. Harrison had a small problem with Baldur's Gate, so he's taking a little break.
Small problem, like an addiction to it, or
I think it was the company he was keeping. It was a group of four, and it kind of imploded.
Oh,
and
it was a
bunch of fighting between them, and it turned into. I told Harrison, you know, I'll play. We could play a trio like we do for Hunt. You know, we'll play Hunt for a little bit, then we'll go play Baldur's Gate. He was like, "I'm not gonna lie to you, that shit aggravated me so much. I'm gonna need a minute." So.
No joke, I just played it solo, like, figured I'd try that out, and I didn't look through, like, the description of the backgrounds before I picked.
Okay.
I just kind of was like, oh, Dark Urge, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
So I did that, and needless to say, I'm in Act 3 now, and only four companions have survived.
It's a tough game because either they all start dying off or they all start getting frustrated with who you're dating.
In my case, I did one thing at the beginning of the game that made like nine different people immediately aggro, and then Act Two didn't help any because I did something there that also made people aggro on me and lost me another like three companions that I had to kill.
It's like the worst case scenario for like, it's almost like those Telltale games where you would fuck up so bad.
Everybody hated that.
Yeah. The little pop-ups were like, so-and-so will remember this. And you're always just like, well, that's going to bite me square in the ass.
Oh yeah. It's like, I did the one thing and it's like 90% of the people in this world hate you now.
Mm.
Be prepared for that.
Yeah. Harrison's a bit bristly, so I think it was a mutual thing of everybody in the crew was rubbing each other a little bit, and then it kind of blew up. So I didn't want to push the issue, but
I mean, if you rub each other enough, eventually something's gonna blow up. So
yeah, that's if you didn't make the joke, I had it in the chamber, but
you're gonna get sticky.
Yeah, something's blowing up somewhere.
Generally, all over somebody's face.
Yeah. face, neck, and chest. I don't know.
Drapes, ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah. Real Randy, not Randy Moss. Marsh. Randy Marsh situation when he's locked in the, when they turn the internet off on South Park. We'll launch right into segment two before we start diving too much into the cum jokes.
How are you not dead?
I have no idea.
Outside of Helldivers, is there any gameplay? This is your chance to throw some of your gameplay out. You have anything you want to go over? Or?
There's only two that I can think of. I think I sent you the clips specifically.
Yeah, we shared it.
One of them, I yelled stealth through the VoIP as I threw a frag grenade and actually got a kill with it. And then the other one, you said you shared it. It's I got a headshot from further than I thought I would with the marathon. Absolutely just Swiss cheesed little shack with Dooley Lamats. And then like I'm actually pretty proud of the second kill. I just kind of swapped the Lamats to shotgun and then ran to a door and punched it as I was running past, so they'd think I was coming out or going in.
Yeah.
And then they shot the door to come out, and as they were rushing me, I turned around and hit them with the shotgun. And I felt disgusting afterward, but it felt so good at the same time.
It's the Harrison is a weird, unique power of the distraction, or like the bait and switch, where he'll he'll shoot out a window, and then somebody will turn around to see if he jumped out or not, and he'll catch him in the face with a PAX or something. Harrison has a weird talent for being slippery like that.
Man, I wish you guys were on PC so I could play with you guys. That would be so much fun.
Oh yeah. Well, I think Harrison has it on PC. I was talking to I think Malcolm Anderson, one of the legendary hunters, was hitting me up on Instagram, and he said that he wanted a PC view, since we usually talk about the way we see stuff on console. And from what I've heard, Harrison has bought the game on PC. I don't know how much he's fucked with it on PC, but I mean, we're on our way. Harrison should be screwing around a little bit.
Well, now I've got to friend him and
screw
with him in the bayou.
Yeah. I mean, I'm running this show on a potato, so I don't think for as long as I have this laptop, I don't think I'm picking it up on PC.
I don't know, man. It runs pretty well on the Steam Deck. Like, surprisingly well.
Is that truth, or is that April Fool's? Because I've considered getting a Steam Deck just for...
No joke. My buddy Drake from Hunt Lowdown, I'm not sure if you've listened to that any, but he's one of the two hosts on that show.
Okay.
And when he moved, he didn't have his PC set up, or it was being shipped or something. But he was posting videos onto his Discord of him playing it on the Steam Deck, and he just connected a wireless keyboard and mouse to it, and it was running really smooth.
Yeah, I've been kicking around the idea of either a Steam Deck or a Steam Link, like just link it to my television. But, it's...
I think Steam Link, you have to have a PC running it.
That's the other problem. That's the other problem.
I'm gonna feel bad having to send you a picture of my setup.
Oh, please, no! This is I bought this laptop, but not a long. I mean, it's not super old. It's old enough, but I never really had a reason for like a PC setup outside of like looking like I got to look for a job. Let me fire up the old laptop or something. And Steam never really struck home with me. I have some Steam titles, but I was never a big Steam guy.
I wasn't either. Honestly, I didn't get a PC until I want to say it was 2020 or 2019, like end of 2019, beginning of 2020. And I was on PlayStation 4 before that, and yeah. I was like hardcore into the consoles, but I saw the light, and yeah, it's great. I've never been happier with any gaming platform before.
It's what I keep hearing. And now you keep running into all these like I got a buddy I work with that's big. He was big into console gaming. Now he's big into PC gaming. But like there's games I keep finding that are PC exclusives that aren't on Steam. Like you have to do all these other launchers to get them. Like we did a whole episode about that game, Witchfire, which is still in beta.
I want to play that so bad.
I'd go nuts on that game if they had it on PS5 right now, even in beta. But it's like, it's its own launcher. It's its own. You have to go to its own site to get the damn thing.
Is it really? I could have sworn it was on Epic.
Because I think that was one of the things I looked into getting the Steam Deck for. Was like, can I play Witchfire like off the Steam Deck? And they said you can, but you have to download a bunch of other shit because it's a separate launcher.
Hmm, that's weird. It's on the Epic Game Store. So
okay,
if you have the Steam Deck, you can't play Epic games on the Steam Deck. So like, if you're wanting to play EGS, may as well just pick up an ROG Ally or something like that.
Okay. Here's a quick gameplay thing. How did that goofy ass paddle you got work out with the trackpad?
Honestly, it works really well. I tested it on my nephew's PlayStation 4 because I don't have one.
Okay.
And it wouldn't work. I don't know why it wasn't working. It's advertised as working on it. I've got to look more into that.
Okay. But
it's actually, I did a whole stream playing the finals with it. And first, like, three quarters of it, I didn't really, like, I couldn't get a kill for the life of me with that controller. Okay. But then I figured out how to actually make all the gyro work and everything, and it's a game changer.
Again, same guy I work with. I showed him the controller we're talking about, and I think he got caught up trying to use it for Ready or Not, the cop game that's all over Steam.
Yeah.
And he said that it was so frustrating because it keeps wanting to auto map stuff to different parts of the controller.
Yeah, yeah, that was one thing I was running into. But I figured out that if you look at the controller and like figure out all the buttons on it, and then map it just with your keyboard and mouse to those buttons in game, it just registers as another keyboard.
Okay.
So it'll hold those.
How's the trackpad feel?
It's not bad, but it's definitely for like the fine adjustments to aiming, because the main part of aiming is definitely the gyro for that controller.
Okay. So it's like having a switch in your hand.
Yeah, it's odd. It's like it's like they combined the PS4's gyro with that trackpad. And so like if you want to get a headshot, you get like to the general area with the gyro and then kind of fine tune it with your thumb.
Last question before we launch into our interview segment. Have you ever recovered from whiffing the Constantina bomb and frag bombs? Cause I did watch that stream, and I watched it while I was at home working out, and I had to jump off the treadmill because you definitely killed yourself with, was it a sticky or a frag?
Oh, geez.
You were cooking. You were cooking it to throw at the assassin, and it was literally like 2.5 minutes into your stream.
Oh,
it was
God, early. I remember the one you're talking about now. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've ever recovered from that. So the match started. We ran in, and I was like, "Oh, assassin's here. Sticky doesn't work, and I don't have a shotgun to make it work."
Yeah.
I'm gonna cook this big dynamite bundle.
It was something stupid.
Oh,
I'm walking on the treadmill and I could hear the fuse burning. I'm like, I hope he throws this soon. And you threw it into the door frame or something. And your partner, you said, can you come pick me up? And all your partner said was just like, how?
Yeah.
Like, how are you dead right now?
Poor element. He has to put up with so much stupid shit that I do. But I figured I'd cook this big dynamite bundle, just run in, and once he pops up, I'll throw it.
Yeah.
Because he normally pops up within like the first 3 seconds I run in.
Yeah.
Assassin decided, fuck you, rat. The second I ran in there, and he waits until like 10 seconds to even start coming toward me, but I was cooking it as I ran through the door. And I was like, where's Assassin? And I threw it right as like the throw icon started getting shorter.
and that
took me out, and all element could say was how.
Yeah,
we just started.
Yeah, I don't even think he was in on the bit with the because the stream is on your YouTube channel, and it's just called Horseshoes and Hand Grenades.
Yeah,
because you were rocking the farrier fist and explosives the whole time. But
it was a good time.
Yeah, the meme play is always like, I know it aggravates the shit out of Harrison and our third guy sometimes, but I'll just take the dumbest loadouts and either I'm going to strike gold or you're picking my ass up for the most of the match.
Oh, it bugs the shit out of all the people I play with too. Don't worry. Like I try to have a theme every time I stream just because I'm like, well, I'm going to be here for a few hours. I may as well have something funny that's just going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And that one was just, I'm going to run only the knuckles and explosives. Like, I'll take guns, but I'm going to try to mainly get kills with the explosives.
Yeah.
And that happened. I think I got a team kill by accident because I threw the grenade near we were about to extract, and I was like, oh well, I've still got a dynamite stick, so I'm gonna throw it straight up, but I'm gonna hold it for a minute so that when the arc goes clear to the top, I'll throw it, it'll explode out of our range. But I threw it just early enough that it arced down a little bit and then exploded just within range to kill me and both of my friends.
Oh, it's the early version of stratagem kills from Helldivers at that point.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like that's the whole thing with Helldivers is halfway through the mission you start giggling at how much you're killing your friends just cuz your stratagems are doing twice as much damage as you are.
Oh god, my friend Atomic, me and him just got into a team kill war the other night on Helldivers. And it all started because I said that the sickle isn't as good as the plasma shotgun. And it just devolved from that point. Like he had an energy shield generator backpack, and I threw a stratagem to stick to the top of the shield. It was ridiculous.
Those are the best games though.
But speaking of Atomic, I've got another clip somewhere I'll have to send you.
And
it's just as bad as me whiffing that big dynamite bundle. I'm crouched at, I want to say, first testimonial. It might be Healing Waters. It's the church with the big like cemetery area out front and the tower.
Yeah.
I want to say it's Healing Waters.
Yeah.
But I'm crouched there, and I'm sitting next to one of the gates that take forever to lift. And they're like, hey, man, we're both dead. I think they've got a shotgun. I was like, it's okay. I got a bomb lance. We're good. And then I hear them running on the other side of the fence, and I pull out a concertina bomb, and I get it ready. I throw it, but it goes straight up in the air, comes right back down, lands on top of me, and my friend Atomic still gives me shit to this day about that, and it was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's what you say the minute that the frag, the dynamite bundle goes off in that horseshoes and hand grenades stream. I'm still getting shit about the concertina trap that I whiffed on.
Oh god, yeah, Atomic. I'm glad Atomic wasn't watching that day, because otherwise it would still be coming back. Like he'd be sending it to me randomly. He'd be telling anybody who was saying that they're going to jump into a game with me, hey, be careful if he pulls out a concertina bomb.
Oh, he'd clip it and make it into the same way that I have Harrison's bullshit as a. Come on, you. You don't want to play now?
Fucking awesome.
That's music we made when we were doing backyard wrestling in the early 2000s. And his gimmick was he was the VIP. And it's basically Harrison dialed up to 10. But we had him rap a whole song for his entrance music, and he didn't think I still had access to it.
Oh, jeez.
So my buddy that made the music, he put it on Apple, iTunes, whatever, years ago, and I stumbled onto it, paid my $1.99, and now that's just every time I talk to Harrison about anything, I'm just saying,
fucking awesome.
I just keep dropping sound clips on him. He's like, I don't know where you found that shit. iTunes, that's where I found that shit.
I think I put the clip up on TikTok. I'm not sure. Dude shoots at us. It's me and Element and Drake playing. Mm-hmm. And Drake was at AFK for a minute. We were like, we're going to go get this first clue. You know, he'll show up later. And I ran into the compound. And right as we get in there, another team starts running at us and shooting at us. And I get shot at twice. I squeal like a bitch. Which has, like, I've been called an audio flash bomb by Dark a few times now. And I immediately yelled, Drake, help. But it basically sounded like, it sounded like help.
Yeah.
Because I was freaked out a little bit.
Yeah.
But
you can watch any of my clips on Instagram. I sound like that constantly.
They clipped just me yelling, Drake, help, and made it a soundboard in his server. Which is basically the Hunt Lowdown server at this point.
That's what friends are for right there.
Oh, it's great. It's so good.
All right. Let's reel this bad boy back in. We're going to hit the soundboard that Harrison loves. Okay. We're going to get down to business here. I have a series of questions about you and your history with Hunt as a streamer. And this should probably round out what we got going on here.
All right. Sounds good.
We'll start with question number one. Rat329. It's a unique-ass name. I'm assuming it was Tarkov before Hunt.
No, so it was Hunt mainly, but I did one stream with Tarkov, and the servers just kept shitting the bed on me, and I tried, like, I didn't know how to edit. I still don't know how to edit videos very well, so I was like, well, I'll just take that shitty stream, and I'll try to make, like, a compilation and see what I can do with editing, and it's the worst video ever. It's absolutely horrendous, but that was the first video I posted onto YouTube, which is where I now stream, like, exclusively. I only stream there because Twitch doesn't have as high of bit rates. But yeah, that was literally just like an inside joke between me and one friend, because we were talking about how bad the servers were.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm gonna make just a compilation of the server shitting the bed on me. Turns out, best part about that whole video, it wasn't even the servers. It was my shitty internet at the time that kept dropping the connection.
Yeah, never take responsibility. It's always the servers.
Yeah, always the servers.
Yeah, just shitty servers. have you gone back to Tarkov since? Or I know a lot of people come and go with the different wipes. Have you given it another chance? Or
I've played it here and there, but not a whole lot. I thought that it was going to be more like Hunt, where there was like a defined objective to it rather than just collect as much shit as you can and get out.
Exactly.
And I don't do as well in such a free flow thing. I've got horrible ADHD. Like, I'm not sure if you can tell when I talk, I just kind of go.
No, me too.
And if you give me just kind of a general objective that's like, hey, go out there, find whatever you can and get the fuck out, I'm going to get distracted by something. The time's going to run out and I'm just going to have a bad time.
Yeah, that's why whenever the occasion that we do play Helldivers, Harrison's always leveled so much further above us because, for one, I don't get a lot of time to play, but he'll play by himself. And if I play by myself, I'll just get lost in the sauce. And the next thing I know, the map is ending and I'm out there closing bug holes. Like, what do you mean I got 2 minutes left? I haven't even done the objective yet. I'm just going towards red blobs.
Here's the trick to that. Because I play alone sometimes and I get just as distracted. What you do is you leave your lobby open. And so when you're about to dive, there's going to be about 3 to 4 random people that just join out of nowhere. They'll keep you on track because you're going to be like, oh shit, the timer's about to be done.
Yeah.
Oh, all the side objectives are done and they're all waiting at extraction. Okay. I'm going to go over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we share my samples I've been collecting while I'm off just doing whatever.
I've found every sample this map has to offer, but all the side objectives are done because they're the real MVP and I have shiny syndrome.
Next question, what is it about Hunt that keeps you coming back to the game? The lore, the gameplay, the competitive edge? What is it about Hunt that keeps you coming back?
No joke, it's just because it's unique. There's not a whole lot of games that are not only first-person shooters, but also have like time period accurate guns and aren't based in a time where everybody has automatic rifles.
And steampunked within 2 inches of their life.
Yeah, and so I saw it and I was like, oh, hey, there's guns that are like single shot or, you know, single action revolvers. Like, this seems kind of neat. And when I picked it up, my friend sent me a video about it and I was like, that looks interesting, but I hate battle royales with a passion. And the video he sent me described it as a battle royale, but it was like a bunch of old dudes from Crytek sat down and they were like, hey, battle royales are cool right now.
Yeah.
Let's make our own and make it as wildly different as possible. So I did a little bit of research on it. And I was like, oh, this seems like something I could actually get into. It's not just King of the Hill. Like, if I get to that boat and there's five people still on the map, I can still get out.
Yeah.
So I picked that up and, kind of just fell in love with like the way that they've built the world up. Like, I love creepy shit and like voodoo shit. So that it had that down. Like, I love Southern Gothic stuff, which I will die on the hill that this game is Southern Gothic, not cowboys.
No. Well, it is Southern. It's Louisiana.
Well, it's the
bayou, like, I would say if it was set in Tombstone, Arizona, I'd be like, no, this is all cowboy shit. But I think when you get down into the bayou, I don't think you can get more south than the bayou.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where Weird West and Southern Gothic are the two genres it would fall under because of the supernatural stuff.
Yeah.
But Weird West generally means that there's also alien shit.
Yeah.
And this doesn't really have any of that. It's pretty much all just supernatural. So where it's got the voodoo stuff and it's not all just like gunslinging cowboys. They've got the dudes with the masks. They've got all the lunatics and stuff. It really solidly falls under Southern Gothic, whereas with Westerns, they generally are Wild West, which ended like the Wild West time period ended in 1895 and the game takes place in 1897.
Yeah.
So it's just outside of the Wild West taking place in the Industrial Revolution. So it falls solidly under Southern Gothic. And it's an argument I've had with everybody.
Yeah, well, I'd say Southern Gothic, where I've described it to several people as Cthulhu without the tentacles, or like H.P. Lovecraft without the tentacles. Like it's got that it's got like that underpinning of it's unexplained. Well, I mean, in the lore, they try and explain stuff as best they can. But like if you're just playing the game face value, you're like, it's unexplained where the rifts are coming from and all this stuff, where these monstrosities are coming from, and you're not some, you know, paladin or anything. You're not blessed from an outside source. You're just a dude trying to sort it out for himself.
Yeah, you're just some fucknut that's like, yeah, hey, I want some money, and there's a gun there, and they said there's a monster out there that they'll pay for.
Yeah,
let's go.
Apparently the American Hunters Association is going to give me some kind of cash if I get this and get out.
You know, before they fell apart.
Yeah. Got one or two more before we... Well, here, we'll do my... I have rapid fire here for the end because we usually like to cap it around 30 minutes. Most people don't like the short episodes, but the shorter time length, but I kind of like keeping it around 30 to 40 minutes. Keeps it bite size.
Yeah, I think the explanation you gave one of the episodes is that you just wanted it to be about the same length as a quick play game.
Yeah, like a general round of the game, but also I've listened, like Hunt, Banish, Extract, which you guys should listen to. It's a very good show. You guys tend to go a little bit longer, but you guys have a lot more people talking. You have a lot more to stay. Like the conversation flows a lot better. But for like two guys,
so many shenanigans.
Oh, and the bits, like you guys have a lot of irons in the fire. But like as far as like me and Harrison, I was like, there's nothing worse than two guys that just babble for an hour in circles. So I was like, if we keep it short, we can keep it tight. We can keep it on the track. And if we need to go longer, we can, but we shouldn't like make it a requirement.
Yeah.
And that was just pretty much like where we left it at, where we're like, no, we're not going to say any more than we have to.
Yeah. With me, they were like, hey, you want to be a guest? And I was like, all right. And then it just went off the rails so quickly. And they were like, hey, you want to just not stop coming back? And I was like, cool. Yeah. And now it's six guys that just don't stop shutting up. Yeah.
Nah, you guys have a lot of good, like solid opinions. But I've compiled 10 questions that were made by Bernard Pivot, and then James Lipton took them for Inside the Actor Studio, and I've now repurposed them for Waiting for Other Players podcast. And these are my 10 interview questions that will be asked of all of my guests. My guest co-hosts. So, starting off, question number one, what is your favorite cuss word in the bayou?
Favorite cuss word?
What's your favorite cuss word you love to say in the bayou?
Cunt.
What is your least favorite thing to be called in the bayou?
A 3-star.
I don't know. I think 3-star is pretty solid. I've dropped to a 2-star before. That's a sobering experience.
I mean, the being like the whole patron saint of 3-stars thing started out as a joke because they were like, you're never going to get out of 3-star. And so I was like, it's fine. I'll just be their patron saint because I've been there for 700, 800 hours.
I mean, if you can keep it at 3 for that long, I think your MMR is probably like, you know, a speckle away from crossing you over.
Oh, I've been in 4-star for the last couple weeks, but
there you go.
I can't call myself anything but the patron saint of 3-stars until I've gone past 700 hours outside of 3-star.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's why even us we're on the road to 6-stars. Not for both of us, just because Harrison he flip flops between 4 and 5 enough that I think I can push him to 6.
You got this, Clutch.
Yeah. That's usually what I'm doing while I'm dead watching his stream. What's one thing that you truly love about Hunt?
This setting, the setting, like the lore, it's just unique enough that there's nothing else like it out there right now.
What's one thing that bothers you about Hunt Showdown?
probably the constant new guns. Like, I know everybody loves the new guns, but or at the very least, all the new ammo that's getting added to every gun.
It's
like when I started, every gun had its own identity, and I can't really say when I started, because back when I started, it was pre-Scrapbeak, and like the hand crossbow and the poison hand crossbow were considered two separate variants.
Okay.
So I remember that, and I remember hating it because it was all so cluttered. But now every gun is getting every special ammo, so it feels like the identity of a lot of guns is just kind of being taken away.
Yeah. What's your opinion on the Nitro Express?
I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, but I love it. It's such a stupid gun that I want to know the thought process of somebody who's like, there's something I need to kill out there quickly and everything wants me to die. I'm going to take a double barrel gun that has the biggest ammo I possibly can find.
An elephant gun.
And I'm only going to bring 6 rounds. It just the thought process behind taking that gun into the bayou as like a person who would actually live through all of this shit is hilarious to me. And for that reason, I love the Nitro, even though I don't use it.
Same. I have quite a few of them laying in my armory, but it's definitely a thing of being like, one day I'm just going to go through a tear of just a whole night of Nitro Express.
I want to go a whole night of Nitro Express just so I can do a shitload of meme loadouts, like Nitro with two Sparks pistols and
I would take it with like a precision, but I wouldn't take it with a good precision. I would take it with like a shitty Nagant precision. I wouldn't take it with like an uppercut precision or anything.
Yeah, I want to take it with like just to drive home the stupidity of it. Like take a Nitro and either a Springfield or a Drilling and it's got the hand cannon variant and just like a shitload of flash bombs since it takes 3 to 5 business days to throw one now.
I love the new animation. I love that it's like the shittiest glow stick of all time. You're banging it into shit. You're throwing, it's the first time I threw one, I was like, you could throw it any day now.
Every time I see that animation, I can't think of anything but Heath Ledger's Joker trying to get the explosion to go off.
Yeah, it's exactly what it looks like. I'm always like, I think it did it. Like, I feel like I fumbled a roll or something in D&D where I'm like, is this a critical fail? Is this not going to work? Is this going to blow up in my hands?
I wish that they had a chance for it to blow up in your hands and blind you. That'd be freaking hilarious. It's already useless. Nobody takes it. So you may as well throw something funny in there.
Yeah, and then you see like Neo or Psycho Ghost just fucking using them to great effect, and you're like, I could do that, and it never works the way you want it to.
Nothing Neo or Psycho Ghost or Hornet or any of them do are things that I should ever say I can do that.
No, you can aspire to it, but it'll never work out the way you want it to.
I mean, it's good to dream.
Yeah. what sound or noise do you love in the bayou?
When you either step on a stick or a bug flies into your ear.
Yes.
Because it feels like somebody just like snapped a stick in your ear, or you actually feel like you got to swat away a mosquito in your ear. There's been a couple of times, like when I first started, that little, like I was hiding in a bush and the bug flying into my ear sound happened. And I actually like tried to swat away a bug. It's so good.
Oh, it's the sound design is probably high on the list of things that I tend to always talk about when I talk about the game.
Same. I bought really high-end headphones just for this game.
Oh yeah. I miss a lot of our cross chat when we're playing trios because I have the game so much higher than the actual group chat.
So no joke, I've got my audio routed from my PC into a sound mixer for my microphone, then from the sound mixer into a 4-stack stereo system to route through a power amplifier to go to my headphones.
It's like the Cal Naughton Jr. of sound engineering. I like to listen to the radio while I play games. I like to party.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous setup. Like, I actually had to get a special cable just for this because I needed to find one that was the RCA, like the three color cables to an auxiliary cable to go, because the stereo system's as old as I am.
Oh yeah.
It's 28 years old. My dad got it when I was born and he was like, "Hey, you can have this." And I was like, "I am connecting that to my PC immediately."
Oh yeah.
But I had to find the cable to do it. And then when I got the new microphone, I got a mixer. So I had to route the audio from the PC into that. And then from that into the stereo system, because my headphones are 250 ohm headphones and I need the power amplifier to drive them.
Jesus Christ. You could hear the sun come up with those things.
If a grunt farts across the map, I can hear it before it comes out of its asshole.
Yeah, usually I don't have that much juice, but there's definitely times when I have my sound dialed in so good that I'm like, I'm telling them to shut up because I'm like, somebody just snapped a twig northwest and they're coming this way. And while the two of them are bickering, you just hear water sloshing and somebody coming up out of the creek. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. They're coming. I could hear them coming. On that note, what sound or noise do you hate in the bayou?
That really big bonfire in one of the forts.
Yeah. The fire, I love the inferno, but the fire is something that they have to work on. The sound. Oh, no,
the regular fire is not bad. Fire bombs, not bad. Burning out a hunter, not bad. Yeah. That one bonfire, it's like they cranked the volume up on just the bonfire to like 89. you can't hear anything at that fort. I want to say it's Fort Bolden.
Yeah. Yeah. It's at the DeSalle map.
Yeah. There's just the one bonfire and it's louder than anything has the right to be. And they've nerfed the sound for it like four times and it's still way too loud. But like a firebomb, it's fine. Choke bomb, it's fine. That one bonfire makes me want to rip my ears off.
What profession, other than the ones that are already in the game, what profession would you like to see a legendary hunter come? Like, what kind of background do you think is lacking?
A prospector.
I thought that too.
I want this old drunken prospector with one tooth and an unkempt beard with like one strap hanging off of his overall. Basically another redneck, but like better.
Yeah.
Like older, real scrawny. We got the old lady. Give us a real old decrepit man. Like looks like he's related to the Crypt Keeper with a pickaxe as his railroad hammer variant.
I don't know why we haven't had a pickaxe in the game. The railroad hammer took forever to get, and I feel like I'm the only one that plays the damn thing.
I play it occasionally, but I'm still pissed that we don't have a shovel that I can put in my arsenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tech, get on it. Give me my shovel, please. I want a shovel, and then I want a skin that's just a shovel, but like somebody cut a smiley face into it.
Yeah, like a good flathead shovel.
Yeah, something like that. Like, give me, please, I want my shovel so bad.
I was telling my wife the other...
Even if it's just like a folding and trenching tool.
Yeah.
Please.
I mean, you could make them the same way that you make the... they could be throwable like you do for the throwing axes. But they just do like blunt damage.
Have the animation where you pull it out and like you flip it over your hand and it flips open as you flip it.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. I kept telling my wife,
spear a garden spade through somebody's chest.
You have to go pull it out like you're a fucking 1980s slasher movie. I kept telling my wife, they've only done it the one time with the Serpent Moon, but like they made that one character that had like a progression to the skins you could get. I don't know why we haven't had. I keep saying we need like three amigos.
I'm and so
you
pissed
could
off.
Just make it one character with three different progressive skins.
So like I know the Viper was meant to be just like a test for the multiple skins, kind of like the new Plague Doctor where it's got two skins that you can swap between.
Yeah.
I'm so pissed that the drowned rat did not just get added to the original rat skin as a toggle.
Yeah, same. Say I got the Billy the Kid, the drowned kid, and it's the same or the bad hand. The bad hand's the same way.
Yeah, same thing. Like, why don't all of those skins just have a toggle and you have to unlock that separate toggle?
Yeah.
It would clean up the legendaries so quickly.
Yeah, I feel like the legendary menu is kind of something that they need to, I'd like for them to work on a little bit.
Well, what sucks is they've already got a great template for it. If you go to the store and click Legendary Hunters, you've got that grid.
Yeah.
Just use the same grid in the legendaries. And then, like, off to the right-hand side, have it just pop up when you click them. Like, it'd be perfect. But, I mean, you got to remember, I only play two hunters, and that's the rat and the drowned rat. And
I wish you could equip legendary hunters in a customized loadout.
Yeah, that or... But, like, with the drowned rat, that's the one that I've been maining since she came out, because, oh my god, it's such a good skin. But it came out, and now every time I want to hire her, the first thing I have to do is click 37 times on that right arrow.
Yeah.
And then by then I'm like, oh shit, I passed her 3 pages ago. And then I have to click back 3 times. Yep. And please.
The same thing when I'm looking for the umpire's bane. I'm clicking for 6 days.
They really need a baseball skin for one of the grenades.
Something. I mean, the bat already has... It's got two good skins for it. It's got the one from the event and the new one that looks like, like you just took a chunk off a tree, like a wizard staff.
I should be able to hit explosives back with the baseball bat. If I'm skilled enough to do that, I should be allowed.
Yeah, but then all that's going to take is that, and then somebody's going to want to be able to catch bullets with the katana, and it's just going to be a totally different experience.
I mean, you got a point.
I don't know. I mean, I'm here for it either way. I'll do either one.
Yeah.
Last question. If there's an end game for your time with Hunt, what would that end game be? What would be the point when you feel like you're finished?
Either when the servers are completely shut down or I'm just sick of the game. I mean, my real end goal, I want to be a Crytek partner just so that I can get a Lamat skin called the Larat.
what's the criteria for being a partner? I mean, don't you just have to stream the game and get a certain amount of views, or
you stream the game? I think it's 1,000 followers or something like that, or 1,000 views consistently, and you have to apply. And then once you apply, like I could have sworn. Which one? I want to say it was Morgan or Bree, one of the two. Those two, they applied to be it was Nino and Hornet. Those guys, when they applied, it took forever for them to get their partner status because they just didn't have it open. So yeah,
I think the other guy that plays with he plays with Curdy and Nino a bunch. British
average Joe,
not Joe. British. I think it's like Olive Meister. Olive.
Oh yeah, Olive Meister. Yeah, love that guy.
I think he just got partner status.
Did he really?
I want to, because usually if we do I follow him on Twitch, but I think the past couple Twitch drops he wasn't listed as a partner. He had that weird thing where it was like, You can get some rewards if you follow certain people, but you can get other rewards if you follow a Twitch partner, like a Crytek partner. And I don't think he had his opened as a Crytek partner.
I hope he's a partner.
Oh, he's great. He's great. I love his videos.
Oh god, he's freaking hilarious.
Oh, he's and if him and Curdy get together, it's game over. I'm watching the whole stream.
The Romero clan sends their regards.
Because she's just madness incarnate, and he doesn't help. He's fanning the flames.
It really doesn't help if you get Psycho Ghost in the mix, because he's memes incarnate.
Yeah, or Joe. Joe's another one that's just gassing you up the whole time.
Oh yeah, it's like they have that bonfire from Fort and they're just gonna throw gasoline on it. Yeah,
and then throw bees at it.
Yeah, yeah. Always throw the bees at it.
I think we're good. Heading out, is there anything I'll throw all your links in the show notes, but is there anything that you want to plug on the way out the door?
Yeah, go check out Hunt Lowdown. Drake is a freaking great guy. Baldur is a great guy. I love both of them. Mitchell Gertz, fucking love you, man. Me and him actually talked to each other a lot before I realized he was the Gertz that you mentioned in the show every week. Me and him talked a lot in Drake's Discord for a while there. We were playing a bunch of games together. It was a good time. So
yeah,
love you,
he's
man.
A good dude. He's a good dude. He's a funny dude.
Oh yeah. Love Gertz. And other than that, just, yeah, I'm on YouTube and, it's rat_329 and, come check out HBE if you haven't, cause we're madness incarnate for the audio world.
I'll throw all that in the show notes. I'll make sure you get some plugs for YouTube channel. Hunt, Banish, Extract is, I have been listening to quite a few, even if I get behind, it's usually like a Tuesday or something at work. I'll just throw a couple on, but, if you're not listening to that, go check out Hunt Lowdown. We need all the Hunt content we can get.
Don't judge me for my Conspiracy Corner episode. That was a lot of no sleep and a lot of trying to figure something out through nothing.
We might have you come back on here for some conspiracy video. I'm here for that dumb shit. That is my brand of madness.
It reminded me of those old Polygon Unraveled videos with Brian David Gilbert.
Oh yeah.
When I listened to it back, I was like, oh dear God, I've become what I used to laugh at.
Yeah. Or I thought of Charlie with Pepe Silvia from It's Always Sunny, where you're like, we're thinking it's 11:22. We're so far fucking beyond 11:22. There is no 11:22.
That was the first gift that was posted to Drake's server when I went off on that tangent.
I just imagined you with a cigarette in each hand, just pointing at a board full of string.
That's how it felt when I looked at my notes afterward. But yeah, it was a good time.
I loved it. I thank the Legendary Hunters real quick. Mitchell Gertz, OG Gamer, Manor Von Velt, Nitro Nate, The Ponytail Palm, Malcolm Anderson, Rat329.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're happy to have all you guys in here. We're happy to have Rat here. We're probably going to try and get a couple of you other guys, maybe throw you guys in the hot seat, get you interviewed. Do you have anything you want to say for a final goodbye?
Love you.
May the fire at Fort Bolden keep you warm. You're living a 3-star life, but God damn it, I hope you have a 6-star week. You guys, thanks for being here. I'll see you next time.
Love you, bye.
Now this doesn't want to work. Why aren't you working? Come on, you. Ooh! Funded podcast paid for and distributed by the Cat House Studios with help from a grant from the American Hunters Association. Find us on Instagram at Waiting for the Players Pod, all one word. And we hope to see y'all again next week. Make sure you bring yourself a friend. And for everybody that lives in the Bible Belt, we're sorry we cuss so much. Clutch, walk us out.
I'm the best looking. Nobody stands a chance against me. And people fucking love me. That's the VIP bottom line. Fucking awesome.
I don't know if half of that shit came through.
It was a little quiet, but I think it's good.
We'll find out.